You're listening to the How to Make Money Podcasting Podcast. I'm your host and explorer, Jace Kraft, and I invite you to join me while I explore behind the scenes of a podcaster monetizing their podcast and learn how you can too. Whether you haven't made a dollar from your podcast or you're making thousands of dollars, this episode you are listening to right now will help you explore what's possible for your podcast. Here I am with Joe Hacker from the Design Talk Live show. At least that's where it all started, and now it has blossomed into the live broadcast network. Joe started his podcast on accident, he tells me, so I'm excited to dig into where he started to where he's at now with making over 180K through sponsorships and doing a lot of cool stuff with his podcast and I believe other people's podcasts now as well. So Joe, welcome to the show. Can you tell us a little bit about like Design Talk Live, who you were targeting and what your background was before starting the podcast?
Sure. Thanks for having me. A word of advice right away to everybody: monetize now, do not wait for it. So my background, have you been to Vegas?
I have not.
Ah, okay. So if you get a chance, for 18 years, I designed light fixtures for hotels and casinos. So okay. If you get a chance to go to the Cosmopolitan in Las Vegas, I designed the world's largest chandelier. It's 3.5 stories tall. It's got two bars inside of it and a bar underneath it.
In the chandelier, there,
two bars inside of it, one underneath it. It's 3.5 stories tall.
Holy cow.
For the guys listening and watching, take your chick there. They love the bling. For you girls, you will definitely, if you go, you're going to end up taking selfies because it's just the blingiest thing ever.
That's awesome.
So I did that for 18 years. I had a career in that. Didn't actually think there was anything else, like this was my world for 18 years. But at the time, designers are going on Pinterest and starting to go on Instagram looking for design inspiration. And so my aha moment back then was, I believe that the future of design collaboration would be a social platform. Mm. So in 2014, I rounded up a team, crazy team. We had president of Tech Coast Angels, the founder of Bright White. We had developers from Nortel Systems, Google, Amazon. We had the former CTO of Gateway Computers, the brand strategist from Adobe, the director of marketing for the Honda Center. And then on my advisor team, I had Jeff Weiner from LinkedIn, Nick Bell, the VP of Snapchat, and Michael Jones, the founder of MySpace. Wow. So it was a killer opportunity. It really got me connected well with some crazy people, and I got to have some mastermind calls with Jeff Weiner, which was awesome. Awesome. So it gave me a lot of experience that way.
Yeah.
We had that platform from 2014 through 2017, and we were in the process of monetizing. That's where we were headed. Ultimately, we failed to monetize, and fortunately enough, I went live on Facebook, and that started this whole other venture of hosting shows and then eventually producing shows.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were talking about the story of you going live on Facebook. You're like, this isn't even, you didn't call it a podcast. You just went live to rant. And then, people started saying, hey, I saw your show and stuff. Tell us about, first of all, what was your motivation to go live? And then, what was kind of the, how'd it go? What did you talk about? And then what was the aftermath for it?
Sure. So at the time in the space, the podcasters, there was this guy, James Swan. He was the $1 million decorator. And he would start out his shows, hello, this is James Swan, the $1 million decorator. It's just snoozerville. And every podcaster in the space was like asking people kind of wine they drink, and just it's so pretentious and BS. And I'm tattooed, beard. I'm not an interior designer. I was a lighting guy. and then kind of going into the tech space, like t-shirt, jeans type of type of dude. So I had been out at High Point, North Carolina, the furniture market. It's the world's largest furniture market. Yeah. 75,000 people in attendance, crazy, the entire city.
Wow.
From there, I went to go speak at a tech conference in DC. So I go to that, and it was live streamed, 450 people in attendance, nerve-wracking. And I was headed back to the West Coast to go to another trade show that week. So as I'm flying, I'm watching all my interior design friends talk about the trends. They had seen all these different things, and they're talking about all these trends. And I was thinking, this is stupid. So my interior design friends will be standing inside of their client's kitchen, and their clients are on a cell phone going, well, I can find all this on Wayfair or Amazon. What do I need to hire you for?
Yeah.
And I was like, quit talking about the trends. Like, you were at a place looking for inspiration. Don't tell them the stuff that the companies are already telling them. So yeah. I'm sitting in my hotel room by LAX, waiting to go to this trade show the next day in Santa Monica. And it was just eating me up, you know? I was like pissed off.
Yeah.
So I was sitting there in my room, and I probably had too much whiskey. And I create an event on Facebook and saying that tomorrow I'm going to go live. And when you create an event on Facebook, you got to give it a title. So in my moment of stupidity, I named, titled that event, Fuck the Trends. now, later, and I showed you this, and maybe I could shoot you over a photo. Later, I'd get the tattoo, Design Talk Live, Fuck the Trends.
Yeah.
So I was pretty committed to it. So at the time on social media, I had about 1,200 people following me total. 1,200 people. When I went live, I started out my rant, but at the time, Facebook could let you add people in. And so ultimately, I had 7 people call in that day. And when they were on, they were saying things like, oh, my coworker's watching, or oh, my neighbor's watching. So that was kind of a little bit of a ding, ding, ding right there.
Yeah.
I had 2,200 people watching me live. So up in the corner of my screen, Facebook had 2.2K people watching me live. Now that was well more than the people that were even following me. And so what I came to learn after that was it wasn't me, it was the guests. So for all you guys out there who have podcasts where it's just you, the content is all you. And one of the formulas that I learned to use right away was leveraging networks. So we can go into that and the value of having other people on and why to have as many people as you can involve in your episode, whether it's sponsors, whether it's shout outs, as many people as you can to leverage their network and get whatever it is that you got to say in front of that many more people. Today, we just streamed an episode for Tice TV, and we simulcasted that across 8 other companies' pages, leveraging their networks as well.
Wow.
So on that day, I went live. We had 2,200 people watching. When I went to that event later on that day, that by the end of that day, that episode had been watched 30,000 times that day.
Holy cow.
The next day I got calls. I woke up from to a call from Baker Furniture. They're mm-hmm. kind of high end. And I was like, really? I cuss like crazy on this thing. And they said I was creating a movement. Later on, so it was Baker Furniture and Leloy Rugs. Leloy called and said, hey, we'd like to sponsor your show. So I had 2 sponsors before I even realized I had a show. And that's kind of what got it going.
Yeah.
Week 6, I brought on my celebrity design co-host, HGTV's the Queen of Bling, Donna Moss. She was on Design Stars Season 3.
Mm-hmm.
Week 9, I hosted the design industry's top podcasters, invited them all on and said, hey, come on the show. And
all on the same time.
I'm going to promo you all on the same one. So I took all the top people
and
I invited them on my little thing that I just barely started. And so ultimately we cleared 100,000 views in 1 week.
Wow.
And, but when I was getting the podcasters on, I had one of the podcasters, in booking him was like, hey Joe, why would I be on there? Why would I do it? I've got my own show. Why would I be on yours? And so I was like, okay, well, I pulled up his friends and I looked at our mutual friends, our mutual followers.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so you and I have these many mutual ones. So you being on my show can introduce you to all these other ones.
Yeah.
Now that's me. How many do you have mutual friends with, you know, the other podcasters, and how many more are already listening to Interior Design Podcast, but haven't heard you? And he was like, I'm in. So we cleared 100,000 views in 1 week. By December, I started getting calls from celebrities, PR reps, getting them to book on my show. Now that was a twist. And I don't know if a lot of people use celebrity. I had right away, the design community said, hey Joe, what does Angie Everhart or Macklemore or Aunt Viv from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, what do these guys have anything to do with interior design?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know about you, but I'm trying to get paid here. they got numbers.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so they got numbers. I mean, you can't argue with that one, you know?
Sure.
And on the interior design side, does Macklemore's fans buy interior design stuff? Hell yeah, they do. So
yeah.
I would be doing a disservice interviewing just design people if I didn't have on celebrities and get people in front of a lecture.
So did you keep the top, like, did you keep the topics then kind of around their taste in design and that kind of stuff? Oh. Or was it just
no? Not at all, man. I get that. But we did showy things. So do you know the Property Brothers?
I do.
Okay, the Drew and Jonathan Scott, the Property Brothers, how they're on Chase commercials, they're everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I had them on my show, I had them lip sync battle. We had 19,000 people watching us live, and that episode went on to be viewed over 500,000 times.
Wow.
I had Collective Soul play live on the show, Macklemore play live on the show. I started to view this as kind of like the Tonight Show on Facebook. It's kind of, but it was all shot from my cell phone.
Yeah.
All shot from my cell phone, low budget, wonky, and ridiculous. Half the time I didn't remember the people's names. no homework. Just showed up. I think half the time people were just watching me, waiting for me to face plant. So, but it worked. 2018, I cleared 3.2 million views of the show. In sponsorship, I was paid over $180,000 in sponsorship from the show.
Wow. Now the sponsorships, were they paying you like per view or per listen, or were you just like, you know, give me this amount and I'll give you a shout out?
So that's one of the things. So again, the day after I accidentally launched my show,
mm-hmm.
I got calls from sponsors.
Yeah.
I had no clue. I had no idea how to charge for this thing. So I was focused on getting the numbers up all the way through January. And in January, I met with one of those podcasters that I had on the show. Met up with them in New York.
You started when?
So I had started in October of 2017.
Okay, so October to January numbers. Got it.
Yeah, I'm not making any money off of it, but I'm running the numbers up. I've got celebrities now on the show. And I'm looking at my competitors going, yeah, nobody's hitting numbers like I'm doing, and nobody's getting celebrities on their shows. Nobody's doing this, mm-hmm. you know? But I couldn't tell from their websites how much they were getting paid. You know, so I met up with one of the podcasters and I was like, so, you know, hey, what do I do here? How's it work?
Yeah.
So essentially what he shared was he's getting about 1,200 downloads per month.
Okay.
And essentially he was charging up about $1 a download. So he was doing 1,200 a month from sponsorship. Now, you know that that's the average. Now, this guy had been doing his podcast for about 5 years.
Wow.
And he did it to subsidize or kind of create this like marketing wing of his primary business. And a mm-hmm. lot of people host podcasts for that reason. They've got a primary thing and they look at podcasting as kind of being, you know, a way to market themselves.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, that's BS. Because you have that microphone right there and you're willing to get in front of that microphone you are braver than most people. Most For sure. people are not going to do that. And yeah. truly, that's the only difference between you and a brain surgeon. A brain surgeon is willing to cut a person's head open, you know?
Yeah.
And because they're willing to do that, they make a killing. Because you're willing to step in front of that microphone, it's worth something to someone else, should charge right away. So I talked with that podcaster. He said 1,200 downloads. And I was like, well, shit, I wouldn't even get out of bed for 1,200 views and, you know, listeners and followers. Like, that's not even worth the effort.
Yeah.
And if I'm doing 100,000 and I was averaging 130,000 views an episode in a week. And so I was like, well, shoot, I can't really multiply that, you know? So, so that was enough info for me. So I put together a website. So if you're looking at creating your own podcast and you're looking to monetize, here's the recipe. Cut your demo. Slap together a website. Put your rates on there. Like, make it easy for people to pay you. Hone in on your niche. Who are you going to advertise to? And why are you a benefit to those other companies? Cut your demo, go market it, and then start charging people. Now, here's what I learned in time was now whenever I launch something, I launch it in a series. So I'm going to do a 12 or a 22 week series or episode series, and I'm going to test the water. So I cut a demo first. I go sell it. If people bite on it, then I commit to a 12 or 22 week series. If it works, then I'm going to sell the next series. But I don't do these round the clock, never ending, never getting paid anything. So we're 2018 now. January, talk with the podcaster. I get the website together and it's February. It's March. I'm not selling anything. I was doing $3,800 where the other people in my space were doing 12 or nothing. And so I come in at 3,800. And so I'm on the phone with my attorney because first of all, I set everything up legally. So Design Talk Live was a California LLC. So I'm talking with my attorney and he's like, well, Joe, maybe you got to lower your rates. You know, everybody else is 1,200, you're 38. You know, I don't care about the numbers. You know, money talks. And I was like, dang, you're probably right. Shoot. So I was like, all right, man. So I gave it some thought. And an hour later, I made an announcement all over social media, sent out big email blasts that I was raising my rates. We had 30 days or else you're going to pay more. And I was going from 3,800 to 4,800. So F you world. I value myself.
Yeah.
And within, I think it was like a couple of days, I got a call from my first sponsor, Dave Cohen. Not only did he pay me 28 grand for the year, but he flew in to deliver the check. And he actually met us on the set when we shot the Property Brothers lip sync battle.
Yeah.
Later on, or that night, we went, him and my friend Kelly Ellis from HGTV, we went to New York Fashion or LA Fashion Week, hung out with Tay Diggs and Tom DeSanto, the director of marketing for the Transformers. and right there, Kelly, my designer friend, wrote an order with him. While we were on the set, Drew from the Property Brothers wrote an order with him. Wow. And that night, because Kelly was an interior designer, Tay Diggs had just moved to LA, needed an interior designer. So she got hired and she spec'd Dave in for the tile work. So wow. That next day, Dave was like, we went for breakfast. He's like, shit, I already made my money back on you. And so there was that delivering value.
Yeah.
So when you're going to do these, it's also delivering value.
Mm-hmm.
So part of that recipe is, what are you going to do to ensure that your sponsors, because I can do a, you know, this show is brought to you by blah, 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 and that doesn't do crap. What are you doing to connect people? Because you're willing to schedule people on your show, it's about scheduling the right people to help your sponsors grow. So
yeah,
that's another factor.
For sure. For sure. So I want to go back to your step-by-step process, cut the demo, make the website, post your rates, find your niche and why, you know, somebody should buy from you. I don't know if it's clear to everybody what cut the demo means. Like what's in a demo? What does that entail? Is it like a trailer, a preview, or give us more details on that?
Yeah, so look, Hollywood's been doing this stuff for years. You got a show idea, you can write it down on paper, you know, walk it by a bunch of people. You got to go cut that little pilot episode, cut that demo, let people know what might this look like before you fully commit to it. So you kind of got to grassroots it a little bit and go cut your first demo or pilot. Take that, and that's your proof that you're willing to do this thing and it could look cool. And let people know where they can fit into that. Are you going to give them a shout out? Is it going to be on the video? What are you going to do to market them? So your demo should do that. Now, I tend to cut to commercial break. And we'll be right back. Hold that thought. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. So my sponsors know exactly where they're going to fit. They're going to get squeezed in there. And I do a couple of different rates. So I do a brought to you by voiceover shout out. So I do voiceover and I do commercials. So we do at the beginning or the kind of, and I mix it up. You know, sometimes I'll start out with an intro from the guest. Hey, my name's blah, 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 CEO of yada, yada. Or sometimes I do a quote. So I start it out differently. Maybe I intro it. So mix it up a little bit. And then I'll run like a brought to you by. This episode is brought to you by blah, 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 right? And then in the episode at a higher price point, I run a commercial. So we'll be right back. Hold that thought. We'll be right back after this commercial break. Those are like killer budget numbers right there. So, we were charging $3,800 for a 30 seconds, ad slot, and you can charge whatever you want. But that's literally just dropping in a soundbite or a video clip. And so don't wait for YouTube to pay you or Facebook to pay you. Just sell your own ads.
Yeah. Okay. So when you were dropping that in then on the demo, like you would, when you had like your pilot episode, you just do like a fake one or something like a sample, like this is what it could look like.
Call up a friend, be like, hey, buddy, is it cool if I mention you on the show? Yeah. So we'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Al's Trophies. Thanks, Al, for letting me plug you. So it's just you throw your friends a little bone right there, and show people what they could get.
Cool. Okay. And then you have the website, you have your rates. Your rates, you would show those publicly, you think, or you get more like
that?
Okay.
I do. Now, I know that some people don't, and then you got to go on there. And I'm always like about making it easy for people to pay you. You know, like you can always run a discount. You can always run other stuff, but publish your rates. I do. And then people can see and they can get stung a little bit. I was in a sales meeting one time and we're in there talking. And then the guys are like, well, your rates are a little bit high. So I got up and I started walking to the door and they're like, whoa, what's up with that? And I was like, you're not going to pay. And this isn't worth my time. And they're like, oh, well, you know, we didn't say that. They've never paid. And they were a waste of my time.
Yeah.
You should be making money. Again, you're sitting in front of that microphone and not too many people are comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. Are you good with karaoke?
Me?
No. Yeah. Okay. So then that's an entertainer. They're worth something, right? Because I'm not good at karaoke. It scares the crap out of me.
Yeah.
But somebody else is willing to get in front of the microphone. So good for them. And we pay for concert tickets and buy their CDs.
Yeah.
So you're in front of a microphone now, you're worth something.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So is it like sponsorships? Is that kind of the main way that you've made money up to this point? Or is there any other ways that your podcast has, blessed you with money?
Yeah. So white label. So currently one of my biggest money makers is, I've got contracts with Informa. They're the world's largest trade show operator. So I produce these things for them. So, and then I can line up hosts. So so the Live Broadcast Network is a media broadcasting company.
Okay.
And so that's what it's grown into. It went from my show to December of 2018, I signed a student's perspective. This was design and architecture students from universities throughout the country interviewing designers, manufacturers, and influencers from a student's perspective. So we teamed up with a bunch of design architecture colleges all across the country, mm-hmm. and we got these students to do this. And what we did was we took the sponsorship. So normally for a host, I take 70%, they take 30%. If they sell the sponsorship, they get 40, I get 60. That's how I kind of do the host agreements. And for this, we flipped it. So I took 30%, but we took the other 70% of all sponsorship raised, and we put that towards scholarships for design and architecture students.
Cool.
So we flipped that one. So that was my first show. Then we signed kinds of other ones.
That was a show that you produced under a different name for somebody else, but you were still the host. You still did all that work. Yeah. So
I went from doing my show Design Talk Live mm-hmm. in 2017 and 2018, and through 2019. But in December of 2018, I produced a show, a student's perspective. So I signed that show and I produced it. So I was not on air. I didn't want them mentioning
it was
their show. Yeah. I set up the guests. They set up the guests. And I just produced it all.
Got it.
And then I signed the 90s supermodel Angie Everhart to do Live with Angie Everhart. We signed Jennifer Farrell for a show called Design Hot Seat. She was doing about 160,000 views a week. So when I signed her show, again, we cut the demo. Jennifer got paid before we ever did an actual episode. Mm. So, and we had Lamps Plus and all kinds of big sponsors on that one. We did Talia Maddox, Let's Talk Breast Health. So this was breast implant illness. And I kind of screwed up on that one. I thought it was a great cause. And so we started producing the shows. And we found that we needed to go to different cities for it. So we went out to LA, we were going out to Arizona, Vegas, and we were finding people in those cities that had breast implant illness, and we were interviewing them. And I say I got that one wrong because I did like a lot of other stuff. We started producing stuff, but I wasn't getting paid for it. So I was spending money, and that was just bleeding us cash. And it was getting good viewership. And ultimately, Talia went on The Doctors and went on several different TV shows because of the media attention she got from the show.
Mm-hmm.
But, and no love lost on that one. It went on to serve a good cause, and it brought a lot of attention to her and to the cause. And but it was my money. It was out of pocket. So
for sure.
Yeah.
So all right, man.
I would say monetize. If I can just stress one thing in all this, it's don't wait, monetize now.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we're at our end of our time here. So if somebody wants to, follow along with what you're doing or see some of your shows to kind of learn by watching, where can they learn from you?
Sure. So I actually don't host anything really now at this point. I just produce.
Mm-hmm.
Although I just launched a tech company. It's a digital business card platform, Join In Crowd. So it's free.
Okay.
But one of the added values, because this is kind of my space, I learned that leveraging networks is a good thing. So when you sign up for Join In Crowd, we send you an email and we invite you onto the Join In Crowd business podcast. And on that is purely a podcast. We do release it as a video. So we put a little screen with a little wave sound at the bottom and, but it is a podcast. It's fully recorded. It's not a video. You're not on screen. And on that one, we're featuring you. So anybody who signs up can be featured. Next week, I'm interviewing the crap king. This guy owns a porta potty business. And then we've got even like a stripper coming on. I don't much care. I like that people are entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
So if you sign up for Join In Crowd, we'll send you an invite and you can be on the podcast for free. One of the things that I don't think I've ever seen, and I'm part of, we're part of that same podcast group, right? Isn't there like 38,000 people in it?
Yeah. There's a few group of them that are big on Facebook. Yeah.
So I posted in there asking how many podcasters send their guests a copy of their episode. And nobody was doing that. Everybody wants you to go click on their thing, right?
Yeah.
So what I do differently is I send you an MP4 copy that you can put on your website and distribute on your own. So if you're a guest on the show, you get a free copy of your episode.
Awesome.
So sign up for Join In Crowd, get a free digital business card. The upgrade is only $1 a month. And you can also sign up. We'll invite you to be on the podcast and I encourage you to be on it. I'd like to meet you.
Awesome. Awesome. We'll have links to that in wherever you're watching this. And Joe, it was great to have you.
Yeah, I hope people get something out of it. Monetize. Make some money.
Awesome.
Do you want your audio quality to stand out from the crowd? The secret sauce comes down to the mastering process. Mastering your audio can make your podcast stand out and be easy on the ears, but it can also be oftentimes confusing and time consuming. But it doesn't have to be. I use a tool called Remaster Media to make the mastering process quick and easy. And you can hear the difference. So right now I am talking without any mastering to my track. But here is what I sound with the remastered plugin. Again, without remastering right now, they have multiple profiles to choose from. So no matter the voice or music mix, you can find something that makes you proud of your audio. Now again, I'm back on remastered. So I encourage you to check them out and see the difference between how you sound with or without them. They have a plugin for your current editing software or a web application for those who want to try before they buy.